Shalom Alechem and welcome. This is Shoshana, aka Zippora Esh, which simply means firebird in Hebrew. Studying and living God's Torah is the fire of my life. Studying God's Torah without application to our lives is meaningless. The objective of God's word is to change us into the image of the Moshiach, Messiah, so that we can be effective witnesses for God. If we say we follow God and Yeshua, but are not obeying God's instructions, we are guilty of creating our own God and religion. Let's begin with a blessing we speak before opening and studying God's word. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim ve'natan lanu et torato. Baruch ata Adonai noten ha'torah. Amen. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, King of the universe, who has selected us from all the nations and gave us his Torah. Blessed are you, Adonai, giver of the Torah. And today we will add a special blessing for when we study the good news accounts of the disciples. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam Natan Torat Emet veBesorot Yeshua leAmo Yisrael ulChol Chamim al Yede Bnei Yeshua Hamoshiach Adonenu. Amen. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, King of the universe, who gives us the good news of salvation to his people Israel and to all the peoples through his son Yeshua, the Messiah, our Lord. Amen. King Solomon tells us in Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 8, that the wisdom of Torah, which is the soul of God written on scrolls of skin, gives strength to our bones. There is an ancient book read and studied by serious Bible scholars called the Zohar. The writer writes of Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 8, "Come and behold, man becomes pure solely through words of Torah. For this reason, words of Torah never receive defilement, since the function of the Torah is to purify the unclean. There is healing in the Torah, as it is written, 'It shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones.'" The way I see it, it is through living the Torah, through the living Torah, Yeshua, the Torah manifested in the flesh, that we are made holy. When Yeshua touches our lives, his holiness is transferred to us, and as we continue to connect to the living Torah, we continue to be made holy. If we are not continuing to touch the Torah of God through study and application, we will struggle to rise above the temptations of this world that work hard to defile us again. A thank you goes out to Emet, aka Shomer Man, for sharing this little snippet from the Zohar with me. Now that we understand that the power of Torah is for our benefit, let's continue to dig into his precepts and bring strength and life to our very bones. I hope by now that you are seeing just how significant Yeshua's words to his disciples were as he taught them how to walk as true children of God within the kingdom of heaven. We started with being poor in spirit, then on to people who recognize our sin and truly mourn over the damage it causes in our lives and within the kingdom of heaven. Next, we studied about being meek and modest in our daily walk. After recognizing that before we can truly hunger and thirst for God's kingdom, our own will had to be diminished so that our souls could truthfully desire God's ways more than life itself. Last time, we dug into what it meant to be gentle of heart. Today, we are going to explore what it means to be one who makes peace in our homes, in our communities, in our religious gatherings, and with those who do not live for God. King Solomon tells us that a soft answer turns away anger or wrath. We certainly would not be able to facilitate peace without a gentle heart. In a world where peace was tenuous, Yeshua was instilling within his disciples that they can effect peace, or shalom, wherever they go, and that it should be automatic from people who live the lifestyle of Torah. In our day today, it is no different. Peace used to rule our community streets in general because many were taught to love their neighbor. It was a concept written on our school walls for decades. You've heard it. Treat others how you want to be treated. King Solomon also writes, "There is nothing new under the sun." So to be wise, we learn from history so that we do not repeat it. I've titled this podcast today, Bearers of Peace. Our focus verse is Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. How blessed are those who make peace, for they will be called sons of God. I've already talked about the various words that mean blessed in Hebrew, so this time we will look at the four words for peace in Hebrew. But first, we're going to look at Aramaic. In Aramaic, the word is shalem, shalom. This word shares the same three letters, shin, lamed, and mem, with the first two words in the list below. The Aramaic language uses the same Hebrew letters, but with slightly different pronunciations or meanings depending on the influences of the time. There is evidence available now that shows that the Gospels and most of the letters were actually written in Aramaic, the standard language of the culture of that time in Israel. They were only later translated into Greek as the Gospels and letters became more widely distributed throughout the known world outside of Israel at that time. The Peshitta Gospels were retained from the first century CE and are written in Aramaic. The Peshitta Gospels is what is being used in Eastern Orthodox Christianity, and their copies are pretty untouched by any kind of anti-Semitism that can be seen commonly in the modern-day Bibles of today. Anyway, that aside, if we truly want to gain understanding of the writings of the disciples, the best way is to educate yourself in the culture and the history of first century Israel. As Hebrew is the language of most of the Hebrew Bible, we will focus on the Hebrew words for peace. Shalom means peace, quiet, tranquility, safety, and comfort. Shalom means peace, placidity, serenity, tranquility, ease, and calmness. Manoach, rest, peace, ease, resting place, quiet, sanctuary. Now you may have recognized a word in that word Manoach. It is the word Noach or Noah as it's said in English. And then the last word that I'm featuring today is nachat. It means satisfaction, ease, peace, quiet, rest, repose. I find the letter sent from James, Yaakov, Yeshua's brother, to the whole of the believers in Yeshua is the most succinct commentary on what the life of a Messiah follower looks like. He takes the laws that pertain to how we treat each other and show us how they look. To fully absorb this letter would take many days of reading and rereading. But in chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, Yaakov hones in on the only way we can be peacemakers. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him demonstrate it by his good way of life, by actions done in the humility that grows out of wisdom. Skipping to verses 17 and 18, it says, "But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, then peaceful, kind, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And peacemakers who sow seed in peace raise a harvest of righteousness, which is good actions." I like what Yaakov said about those who are wise and understanding among them. It takes great wisdom to de-escalate a confrontation. One who lives in peace with his fellow man with kindness and mercy will be more likely listened to than someone who is hot-headed and opinionated. Interesting, too, that Yaakov puts purity and peacefulness in the same order as Yeshua did. I believe that we will not be able to walk peacefully until we have fully submitted to the principles that govern the kingdom of heaven. A peacemaker will have been disciplined in the ways of Torah. They will have been tested and tried in the fire of trials and been successful in their tests. The writer of Hebrews says in chapter 12, verses 11 through 15, "Now all discipline, while it is happening, does indeed seem painful, not enjoyable. But for those who have been trained by it, it later produces its peaceful fruit, which is righteousness. So strengthen your drooping arms and steady your tottering knees and make a level path for your feet, so that what has been injured will not get wrenched out of joint, but rather will be healed. Keep pursuing peace, or shalom, with everyone, and the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses out on God's grace, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble and contains and contaminates many." Hang on a sec. "When we are not driven by our own personal agenda, then we are more apt to have patience to take however much time it takes to see God's way worked out in any situation. How often have we created drama because our own selfish soul felt strongly that an injustice was done against us and we need to fix it? If we attack the situation with a sense of righteous indignation, we will create even bigger problems. If a real social injustice has been done, yes, we should do all we can to effect change, but it has to be from a heart that is truly moved by compassion and not a heart of hatred. How did Yeshua react when he was treated badly? Each time he was confronted by some of the spiritual leaders, it was his love for them that enabled him to address the confrontation with the hope of a peaceful resolution. It was his inner peace and kindness that shut the mouths of his attackers. Yeshua's purpose was to teach the lost sheep of Israel how to return to God and to love him with all their being. What are some of the necessary attributes we must have if we are going to be able to conduct a peaceful resolution? Humility, patience, compassion, orderliness, simplicity, generosity, moderation, trustworthiness, a pursuer of peace through loving kindness and honor." When we truthfully examine each of the above words, we have to admit that none of them would be possible if we had not first gone through the previous Beatitudes. We cannot bring peace to a situation if we are arrogant and proud, because those traits will get in the way of our intervention if not received well. Let me say that again because it's important. We cannot bring peace to a situation if we are arrogant and proud, because those traits will get in the way of our intervention if it's not received well. Humility is recognizing that I don't always know the right thing to do. If we are not careful in how we approach a situation, we could very well end up causing greater sin, and by this time, we should have a healthy fear against the possibility of sin or causing someone else to sin. In our Jewish prayer book, there is a prayer which we say each night. "Master of the universe, I hereby forgive anyone who has angered or antagonized me or who has sinned against me, whether against my body, my property, my honor, or against anything of mine, whether accidentally, willfully, carelessly, or purposefully, whether through speech, deed, thought, or notion. I forgive every Jew. May no man be punished because of me. May it be your will, Adonai, my God, and the God of my forefathers, that I may sin no more." There is more to the prayer, but I wanted to highlight the part, "May no man be punished because of me." It takes true humility to say that phrase and mean it. For those who do not understand why we say, "I forgive every Jew," let me explain. When the descendants of Israel left Egypt, only 1/5 of all the Israelites actually left Egypt. That divides out to only 600,000 souls. It is told in ancient writings that there were 3 million who left Egypt. So where did the other 2.4 million souls come from? The nations of the earth that were living in Egypt at the time of the story of the Exodus, when all of them gathered at the base of Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai, they all dedicated their lives to God and took upon themselves the Torah that Moses commanded them. From that point on, all were considered Jews. But they weren't actually called Jews at that time. They were called the Hebrew people or the children of Israel. The title Jew came much later after they took up residence within the Promised Land. This is the template for the redemption today. At this point, there are more non-Jews who are accepting the Torah of Yeshua than there are born Jews. But as you can see by the above example, once one accepts upon themselves the Torah standard of God, they become new creatures. The old nature of pagan idolatry is passed away and all is new like a newborn baby. And now, as followers of Yeshua grafted into the stump of Torah, every branch is now Jewish. So when we forgive anyone who follows God's Torah, we are forgiving a fellow Jew because they are united through Messiah, Yeshua. So looking at simplicity from the list above, what can we learn from this? Simplicity speaks of uncluttedness. I may have made that word up, I'm not sure. It speaks of a life with few detailed distractions. It speaks of finding the lowest common denominator of difficulty. It can even speak of modesty and lack of drama in one's life. A peaceful person does not let their troubles disrupt their lives unduly. Without the clutter, without the distractions, without undue complexity and emotional drama, we can see through the layers of trouble in a person's life and help them to see how to resolve their problem. In a world where moderation is lacking, everyday life is over the top, excessive, bigger than life, out of balance. Living within moderation teaches us to be satisfied with just what God provides. Training ourselves to ignore the commercials that tell us we just have to have that really cool gadget. Living with moderation makes us realize that life is not about stuff. Moderation is another way to bring balance into our lives. If our lives are out of control, how can we possibly bring peace into someone else's? Well, having said all of that, getting back to the subject at hand, we will see in the next few verses of James, or Yaakov, as he was called, what destroys peace. Yaakov contrasts the world's way with God's way in verses 14 through 16. But if you harbor in your hearts bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, don't boast and attack the truth, Yeshua, the Torah made flesh, with lies. Let me say that again. If you harbor bitterness in your hearts and jealousy and selfish ambition, don't boast and attack Yeshua, the Messiah, who is the Torah in the flesh. Don't attack him with lies. This wisdom is not the kind that comes down from above. On the contrary, it is worldly, unspiritual, demonic. For where there are jealousy and self-ambition, there will be disharmony and every foul practice. This can truly be seen in our society today. Understand that Yaakov is talking to all the Jewish people throughout the world who are connected to Yeshua-centered Judaism and also to whoever within the Jewish communities who might read his letter. So he's not talking to those who are still living in the pagan world and following the pagan idolatries of the world. Rabbi Shaul, also known as Paul, also writes in the letter to the Roman converts in chapter 12, verses 16 through 19, be sensitive to each other's needs. Don't think yourself better than others, but make humble people your friends. Don't be conceited. Repay no evil for evil, but try to do what everyone regards as good. If possible, and to the extent that it depends on you, live in shalom with all people. Verse 19 is extremely hard for people who have not progressed through the first six verses. The whole passage just reveals how important compassion is. Never seek revenge, my friends. Instead, leave that to God's anger. His anger is pure. For in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verse 25, Adonai says, "Vengeance is my responsibility. I will repay." The human need for vengeance comes from hearts that are selfish and arrogant. The whole historical story of the Hatfields and the McCoys was about arrogance. No one could forgive or yield. How sad that so many lives were lost because of this hateful arrogance. There is an unexpected way that we can be peacemakers. It's called silence. Again, from the book Everyday Holiness, I quoted from in a previous podcast, under the section labeled Guarding the Tongue, it says on page 140, "There is a time to be silent and a time to speak," wrote King Solomon in Ecclesiastes, also known as Kohelet. In the book of Job, after listening to his so-called friends trying to comfort him, Job finally erupts with, "Be silent, and I will teach you wisdom." In silence is wisdom too. A wise person, therefore, is one who knows what to say and when to say it, but also knows when to keep silent. And even a fool is judged wise just because he keeps silent. When we are tempted to participate in evil speech about someone, keeping silent can prevent all kinds of sin and trouble. So then, silence is a powerful tool toward making and keeping peace between people. Another very important trait for a peacemaker is loving kindness for the sake of loving kindness. If there is any pride in a person's heart, true loving kindness will be impossible. Why is this important? True loving kindness does not require praise for helping someone through a difficult patch, so they won't be compelled to tell everybody what good deed they did, which is good, because the last thing a peacemaker wants is for the details to become common knowledge, if you know what I mean. Peace is the third fruit mentioned in Rabbi Shaul's letter to the Galatian converts, chapter 5, verse 22. Yeshua is the peace, the Prince of Peace. We know that from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, or is it 6, verse 9? Somewhere in there. Anyway, Kepha, or Peter, quotes Psalm 34, verses 13 through 19 in his first letter, chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. "Whoever wants to love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and chase after it. For Adonai keeps his eyes on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of Adonai is against those who do evil things." Rabbi Shaul further says in his letter to the Philippi, in chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, "Rejoice in union with the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see how reasonable and gentle you are. The Lord is at your side. Don't worry about anything. On the contrary, make your requests known to God by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Then God's shalom, his peace, passing all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds safe in union with Messiah Yeshua. In conclusion, brothers, focus your thoughts on what is true, noble, righteous, pure, lovable, or admirable, on some virtue or on something praiseworthy. Keep doing what you have learned and received from me, what you have heard and seen me doing. Then the God of who gives shalom will be with you." Rabbi Shaul suffered greatly for taking up the mantle of Judaism that is fully centered on Yeshua, the Torah, revealed in the flesh. He understood the task of taking redemption to the nations. Remember, the 2.4 million people accompanied Israel out of Egypt into redemption at Mount Horeb. I believe that a peaceful spirit will be revealed automatically as we progress through the Blessed Bees. We are told in the gospel accounts that those who are forgiven much will love much. As we compare ourselves to the righteousness of God and understand just how much we have been forgiven for breaking Torah covenant, the path of the Blessed Bees will be the road that takes us to a place of peacefulness within ourselves and with others. When I read Matthew chapter 5, verse 9 now, I understand it to say, "How blessed are those who can repent and or forgive if necessary to restore godly harmony, for they will be called sons of God." God's redemption story is all about reconciliation and restoration of humans. This is what a peacemaker does. God is the ultimate peacemaker. He did whatever it took to restore a right relationship with us that could interact in peace and in harmony. Self-importance and pride break harmony, but humility and mercy create harmony and peace. If you have been struggling with a life that is out of control, today is the day to take control of the craziness by humbling yourself before God. Admit to Him that you have willfully disregarded His instructions for a life that produces peace. A repentant heart, God will not turn away, so go to Him. Ask Him to purify your heart and to wash off all the ugliness that is hanging around like a necklace on your neck. Yeshua tells us that he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That doesn't mean we are free from God's Torah. It means that we are free from the chains of breaking Torah and are totally free to follow the life that God offers in His Torah covenant. Abba, you created us to walk in fellowship with you in total liberty and fullness of life. When we give into the animalistic nature that is utterly selfish, we break our connection with you and chaos ensues. Abba, deliver us from the curse of sin and raise us up to be true sons and daughters who walk in love and obedience to your Torah covenant, and give us grace to overcome the tests and trials that would overwhelm our lives. We are told that you will not give us more than we can handle, so help us to recognize that each test is for purifying our souls of sin and for strengthening our faith and trust in your goodness and provision. Remember us for blessings in accordance with our obedience, as you bless abundantly those who walk in obedience to your mitzvot commandments. Blessed are you, Lord, our God, who always does good to all your children. Amen. Let us finish with the blessing. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher natan lanu Torat emet vechaye olam nata betocheinu. Baruch ata Adonai noten haTorah. Amen. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, King of the universe, who gave us the Torah of truth and implanted eternal life within us. Blessed are you, Adonai, giver of the Torah. May our Lord bless you, and I pray that your heart has been stirred to seek His face earnestly and to feast daily on God's eternal Torah, where there is life, and that more abundantly. If you don't know where to start on this journey of sanctification, you can start by watching the live stream feed of Sar Shalom Synagogue every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. YouTube has video recordings going back at least 5 years. I suggest starting with the messages from the last Shabbat of October 2016. These messages start with Genesis, which is the best place to start if you want to see how Yeshua fits within the whole of the Bible narrative. You can also tune in on Facebook on the Sar Shalom Synagogue group page each day, Monday through Friday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, or on Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. There are several resources I would like to recommend if you are ready for a deeper personal study. The Art Scroll Chumash, C-H-U-M-A-S-H, Chumash, which is the book, 5 books of Moses. In this book, you will find commentary that you have never heard before. Everyday Holiness by Alan Morinus for further study in a life that reflects the attributes of God. And Positive Word Power, the Art Scroll series of Chofetz Chaim, C-H-O-F-E-T-Z, C-H-A-I-M, Chofetz Chaim's Daily Wisdom. This will teach you how to guard your words. I also want to encourage you to purchase a Bible that is Judaism-centered instead of anti-Semitically focused. My favorite at the moment is the Tree of Life version. There are several others available. Shalom and have a blessed week.